This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The first Democratic presidential debate kicking off in Miami tonight. It's a two-night affair. 10 of the Democratic hopefuls will debate tonight. The other 10 will be on the stage tomorrow. Both debates will begin at 9 p.m. Eastern and be shown on NBC networks. President Trump says he'll be watching tonight while he's flying to Japan for the G20 summit.
Actually be in a plane. It just seems very boring, but I'm going to watch it because I have to. That's part of my life.
But in that live phone interview heard on the Fox Business Network this morning, the president added,
"Do I want to watch it? Do I want to watch these people? That's a very unexciting group of people."
The U.S. is reportedly talking behind the scenes with North Korea about a possible third summit. The South Korean president saying today there's no reason to talk of a stalemate between the two nations, saying the two sides have been engaged in dialogue in regard to a third meeting. And this is USA Radio News.
Between the unbeatable performance and lower operating costs, electric cars are going places like never before. In fact, a survey by Drive Change Drive Electric tells us that 8 out of 10 Northeasterners agree electric is the future of automobiles. Travel expert Zach Houghton.
The vast majority of Northeast drivers, about 3 in 4, believe it's important to move towards electric cars, and 88% also want to reduce their vehicle emissions. So while drivers are interested in these cars, the problem is that most of them don't understand how and where to charge or even realize that charging stations are available to them.
Houghton told us a new campaign called Destination Electric hopes to change all that by celebrating businesses that support driving electric in communities across the Northeast.
Destination Electric businesses all have a storefront decal to alert visitors that charging is nearby. So far, over 100 local businesses have joined Destination Electric to demonstrate their support for electric cars and to let their customers know that they could be charging while they visit.
Visit Drive Electric US to learn more.
The National Rifle Association is shutting down its TV network, and it's cut ties with its principal spokesperson, Dana Lash. A report in the New York Times saying that NRA TV may still continue to broadcast old content, but is ending its live productions. The NRA is also reportedly cutting ties with advertising company Ackerman McQueen, which had operated NRA TV and employed Dana Lash. President Trump praising his next press secretary, talking with reporters yesterday, noting that Stephanie Grisham has been with his team from the start.
Over the last couple of years, she's worked for the First Lady, done a fantastic job. The First Lady loves her. I think she's been, just incredible. She's very talented.
Grisham is set to replace outgoing press chief Sarah Sanders, who announced she was stepping down from the post recently. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
The U.S. State Department says there's international condemnation against the government in Caracas that continues to spend millions of dollars on that country's military to keep dictator Nicolas Maduro in power, sending nothing towards humanitarian aid. John Clemens has more on the story.
Special Representative for Venezuela, Elliot Abrams, says Maduro spent $209 million for an air defense system from Russia this week. Meanwhile, President Trump has ordered additional humanitarian aid for Venezuela.
The USNS Comfort hospital ship is heading into the Caribbean and South America and will dock at a number of ports to bring medical care to Venezuelan refugees and local residents, while Russia is sending its warship, the Gorshkov, and more military technicians.
Donations to religious organizations are down. The Giving USA Foundation's annual report on philanthropy, finding religious donations dropping by nearly $2 billion last year. That was the first full year of the Federal Tax Cuts and Job Act of 2017. The law doubled the standard deductions for families, and that means many filers no longer need to itemize charitable donations. However, Giving USA Foundation's chair told the Christian Post other factors like a split in denominations and trouble within the Catholic Church were also likely factors. Find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's the way we roll, and it's what it's all about. I mean, I'm like you. I'm the ultimate optimist. I just believe that we can make this happen. We can get this country back on track in spite of the paradigm that has been well grooved in over, I would say, well over 100 years. There's no doubt about it that we are fighting a force that is well entrenched, deeply rooted, but it is going to take the passion that our founding fathers had for this great country at its founding in order to get it back on track. So it's up to we the people. With an equal amount of passion, and keep in mind, we didn't go and have an American Revolution or a Civil War for nothing. We did it for a reason, to live the ideals of this great American experiment. But we got a real treat here. We're going to be talking about a new novel from David Bruns and J.R. Olson. It's titled Rules of Engagement. Mark Greene says it compares with the best of Tom Clancy. Now imagine, three of the most powerful countries in the world have been set on a collision course for World War III, and time is running out. J.R. Olson is with us right now, and he's going to break it down for us. We got a little bit of time together, and it's going to be good fun. J.R., welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, and thanks for having me on today.
Hey, good to have you here. I love what you've done here with this novel and the whole premise. So break it down for our audience. Let's get them up to speed so we can get into this, okay? Oh, by the way, let me give you a little background on J.R. in all fairness so you understand where he's coming from. He spent over 20 years in the Navy, retiring as a commander, now teaches college courses in intelligence and counterterrorism. So I imagine your brain damage right now was some of the lack of intelligence that is running rapid, that is way too common these days. Just sidebar between you and me, okay? It doesn't have to be repeated. So he and the co-author, David Bruns, are graduates of the U.S. Naval Academy. Gosh, what an experience for you. You know, first of all, going to the Naval Academy, graduating, and then having a stellar career in the Navy on behalf of the American people. Thank you, J.R. I appreciate it.
It's my honor to serve.
Right. Well, together, I mean, this isn't your first rodeo with David. You also authored WMD, Weapons of Mass Destruction Files series, right?
We did. That was our first novel. That was about 5 years ago, Weapons of Mass mm-hmm. Deception. And we actually partnered up on that one sort of on a, not really a dare, I guess, but based on a question that we both received. We were, you know, as we're both Naval Academy graduates, we're both part of the alumni chapter for Annapolis up here in the upper Midwest. And we were asked to speak at a Naval Academy Parents Association meeting Those are parents whose sons or daughters were off at the Naval Academy at the time, 5 years ago. And we went through our respective backgrounds, and David did 6 years in submarines for the Navy and then got out and had a very successful corporate career. And at the time of our speaking engagement, he had decided to sort of throw off, working for the man and go back to basically a dream that he had always had, and that was to pursue a professional writing career. And so he'd been writing science fiction novels for a little bit. And I had retired and returned back home to the Twin Cities, and we got done going through our respective backgrounds, and one of the parents in the group stood up and said, you know, you two ought to get together and write a book.
Wow.
So that was how we got started, and Weapons of Mass Deception was the first book in 2015, mm-hmm. and then 2016 we published Jihadi Apprentice, which was another story along the lines of, you know, terrorism and non-state actors and things like that. And then we actually finished out Rules of Engagement back in late 2016, and it was picked up by St. Martin's Press, and it just hit the bookshelves yesterday. So I feel very privileged to be on the air with you today.
It's almost like you're in the movie business. I mean, because it sounds like it's a, oh yeah, we released it 2 years ago, but it's finally on the big screen, you know, here, 2 years later.
Well, what's amazing is, you know, back then we weren't really taught, I mean, things were happening out there in the cyber arena, right?
Right.
The cyber criminal activity and hacking and whatnot. But it really didn't come to a lot of people's attention about what you can do from a cyber perspective until information started coming out about the covert action against the Iranian nuclear centrifuges through that Stuxnet worm that may or may not have been introduced by the United States, right? Mm-hmm. So that started to capture people's attention about what you could do potentially from a cyber means on a national mm-hmm. security footing. And so David and I took that on board, and we started to craft a storyline, which eventually became Rules of Engagement, mm-hmm. the idea where you might have a terrorist who becomes sort of hired by a nation state, in this case North Korea, mm-hmm. And he's able to create an awful lot of chaos, and through his actions in the cyber arena sort of precipitates an actual shooting engagement over in the Western Pacific, which, as you well know, has become a fairly intense place of late.
Exactly.
Through geopolitical reasons. So.
Right. And we've got a little bit of, cyber mystery going on right now, whether or not, the United States were effective with a cyber attack on Iran. Iran
right.
insists that, no bugs on me. And,
and that's a great point. And that's a challenge here because, you know, when we use some sort of a kinetic weapon, a missile or artillery shell or whatever, once you fire that, for the most part, those things explode and it's kind of hard to, reverse engineer it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's very different in the cyber arena. As soon as you release a cyber weapon, whatever that's going to be, that piece of code that you put out there in the world, now everybody gets to see it. So it's like the genie out of the bottle. And
mm-hmm.
so Stuxnet is a great example of that because once it was discovered, you had countries all over the world taking a look at the complexity of that computer code and saying, you know, this is genius. We can reuse this ourselves. And
well,
so every time we decide to carry out some sort of a cyber operation, there's a risk, a payback. What's your return on investment, so to speak, for using that cyber capability other than in a time of war, for instance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you use it now, like what we used on Iran, I guarantee you the Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians and anybody else who can get their hands on whatever that code was is very curious to see what it was designed to do and why and how effective it was.
And the nature of it is so dynamic is that, okay, you've used that bullet. What's your next bullet, right?
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly
mm-hmm.
right.
Well, and the thing is, JR, as we've been observing this, over the years here and seeing how powerful the Internet is and what it can do to, throw a lot of wrenches in a lot of machinery here. You've got the threat, as Hillary Clinton said, of, maybe somebody in a fraternity having nothing better to do at 3 o'clock in the morning, just saying, hey, I'm going to have some fun, see what I can do here, right?
Yeah, that is certainly a possibility.
Well, and I still maintain, like for example, I think it was like 3-4 years ago, the stock market took a big hit, and I think it was somebody messing around on the internet and caused a scramble, and I think it ended up costing us, I don't know, billions of dollars with somebody goofing off.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
So that's one of those interesting challenges. I mean, the power of, you know, people who really understand how to craft code and how to insert that code into different systems. I mean,
we've got to go to break. We'll pick it up from there. J.R. Olson is with us. Stay with us.
I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month, you could fight against heart disease naturally. At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem, and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-506-6740. 800-506-6740. That's 800-506-6740.
Your opinion really does matter. Bill Martinez live, without a doubt.
That's the way you like to hear from us every Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We're back with you 19 minutes after the top of the hour. We're talking about the new book, Rules of Engagement. It is a novel. from David Bruns and J.R. Olson. J.R. got the short stick, so he has to talk to me today. So what happens when you pull those sticks? It's like a 50-50 option, you know. But I think David kind of cheats on everything and makes sure that JR always gets the right flip of the coin and all. JR spent more than 20 years in the Navy, retiring as a commander, now teaches college courses in intelligence and counterterrorism. JR, rules of engagement. Let's talk about the premise of the book. Break it down for our audience.
Okay. So it's, we live in a digital world today. And everything is connected. And the idea behind the story is we have a terrorist who is sort of contracted to carry out some activities on behalf of organized crime. Mm-hmm. And he manages to convince his benefactors, who happen to be North Korea. And the North Koreans go for his plan. And then our terrorist, Rafiq Roshed, mm-hmm. Sort of goes off the rails a little bit, and he is on sort of a personal vendetta to take action against the United States. And so he pits China against the U.S. And Japan in the mm-hmm. Western Pacific, and is able to introduce some fairly sophisticated computer code that he has worked to develop along with some of the North Korean cyber engineers. And that code starts to wreak havoc at his command, and he's able to sort of take over and start carrying out orders amongst those three, the three navies, air forces, that kind of thing, of in the region in the Western Pacific.
So he's gone super rogue beyond
that's
even
right.
What North Korea expected originally for him to do.
That's exactly right. That's right. Exactly right.
So yeah, go and cause a little bit of a problem, and all of a sudden
right.
He realizes, he goes, "Well, I am the general."
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Wow. So
that's what that leads us, to where you transition out of the cyber arena into a kinetic exchange, and that's one of those interesting things about cyber is that it has become a new warfare domain. You have sea, air, space, land, and now you have another domain with cyber being an integrated part of all of our military capabilities. And that's becoming more and more prevalent around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You have countries like North Korea or Iran who are a bit of a threat militarily, but not that much of a threat, generally
right.
speaking. But they punch well above their weight if they have highly capable cyber experts.
Exactly. Well, that's my thought. I mean, you could ignite something, with a little bit of investment here. I mean, you got a couple of smart kids or one smart kid that can write code there. They can wreak havoc well beyond, as you say, their the weight of their politics or their country.
Right. And there's the national security component to it. But what most people don't think about. Or maybe they do. I don't know. Your readers might, or your listeners might be very savvy on this. The impact that is happening from a cyber crime perspective on a global scale.
Oh yeah.
We hear routinely about these incidents that happen where cities or companies have had their systems hijacked, and right. they have to pay some sort of a ransom to have that that hijacking of their system removed.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are criminals making money out there. There are people stealing identities and whatnot off of databases that are, big companies like Target, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And so those companies, those municipalities, those are victims, right?
Yes, along exactly.
The rest of us mm-hmm. For these cyber criminals. And so that dividing line between cyber criminals and how some countries may use their cyber intelligence, cyber operations capabilities, that is not. It's not a very solid line in some cases.
Right, exactly.
You may have heard that North Korea has been using their cyber capabilities, their cyber forces inside their intelligence apparatus to actually steal money to line the coffers of the North Korean government and probably Kim Jong-un as well.
Well, we know terrorists have been doing this. I mean, it's easy money the way it's set up. I mean, to your whole point here, you can access this, and I mean, you get some of the benign stuff. I say benign by comparison is these guys that put the chips into gas stations. It's just like it's annoying as all get out. But after a while, a little bit here, a little bit there, you got some spending money to deal with.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, but here are the basis, as you say, of this new level of military engagement. This is a whole new ball game. I mean, you know, the reality of your novel is quite possible, is it not?
Well, so David and I promised each other, you know, 5 years ago when we started writing together, since we're both Naval Academy grads, we both loved reading these kind of national security thrillers when we were younger. Mm-hmm. We said, you know, there's a lot going on in the world today. Let's try and modernize that idea and bring it into the future to a certain extent. And we promised each other that we would use the technical accuracy to the greatest extent possible on everything we did on a military and an intelligence perspective without crossing that line where we're giving away anything classified, because we still care deeply, obviously, about the young men and women in uniform today. So we're not going to put them in danger just to make a buck or two. So we try to use that technical realism as much as we can as we craft these fictional stories. Mm-hmm. And with the feedback we've received from authors is that they really appreciate the technical accuracy, that they learn new things that really, you know, provokes them to start thinking more and more depth about national security decision making that, you know, the U.S. and our allies make on a regular basis. It gets them engaged in what's happening in the world. And frankly, for me as a retired naval intelligence officer and somebody who teaches incredibly bright young college kids today on issues of national security, anytime you can sort of spur somebody to sort of think long and hard about some of these challenges that we face, especially heading into the future,
exactly.
To me, that's a huge win. That's a huge win.
Well, then you take it beyond the level of just opinionating.
You know, that's
important, and I often say in the absence of fact, opinion rules, and I think that's part of the challenge that we have right now is that we've got more opinion than facts and intelligence happening out there, and that's dangerous. But getting back to the story that you have here, you know, when you have a breakdown in communications, even when you're at war with somebody, you still want to know what your opponent is doing, and you maintain those channels of communication, do you not?
Well, normally you do. So if you're talking about, you know, sort of a more of a peacetime diplomatic scenario, those lines of communication are always open.
Mm-hmm.
If you get into a full-fledged war, those lines of communication can be much more restrictive, but there mm-hmm. usually is a methodology to communicate with the other side, even if you're in a full-scale war.
Yeah, because if you cut those off, and then next thing you know, you're imagining the worst, then your response is going to be the worst, is it not? Wouldn't it seem to follow?
Yeah, that's true. You know, the role of intelligence is to inform policymakers with as much fact as we can acquire about the enemy, and that basically reduces uncertainty for our policymakers to make good decisions about what we should do from a national security perspective.
Well, in your book, Rules of Engagement, you and David have set up the scenario in such a way that it's absolute chaos between, you know, these three governments, including the United States, that because of the cyber attack is losing control of its own military, if that could even happen.
Right, and that's a huge challenge, right? Obviously, I mean, if you're the president of the United States, you don't want to lose control of any part of the military capabilities of this country. And we are living in a digital world, so those communications networks ride on digital backbone.
Yeah.
And so if you lose control of that, that is a bad thing.
Yeah, without a doubt. Case in point, we've got military aircraft ready to go, ships in position, and we're getting ready to do a strategic attack on Iran, and somebody doesn't get the memo, right?
Yeah, that could have turned out very badly, right?
Without a doubt.
Thankfully, the American command and control networks right now have not been penetrated by Rafiq Rashid.
Yes.
So we're in good shape.
Well, good job with Rules of Engagement, a novel from J.R. Olson and David Bruns. J.R. has been our guest. J.R., thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Looking for high-speed internet where you live but are out of reach of cable and fiber options? Look no further. High-speed internet is now available in your area. As your local authorized HughesNet retailer, Whole Home Connect, makes it easy to get the high-speed internet you need with blazing fast speeds. Unlimited data with no hard data limits. With built-in Wi-Fi for as little as $2 a day. Act now and for a limited time, get free standard installation and free equipment with HughesNet from Whole Home Connect. You'll enjoy internet service that lets you do more of everything you want to do online, like shopping, surfing, and staying in touch. Call Whole Home Connect and see for yourself why HughesNet is America's number one choice for satellite internet.
800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. That's 800-696-6902.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The first Democratic presidential debate kicking off in Miami tonight. It's a two-night affair. 10 of the Democratic hopefuls will debate tonight. The other 10 will be on the stage tomorrow. Both debates will begin at 9 p.m. Eastern and be shown on NBC networks. President Trump says he'll be watching tonight while he's flying to Japan for the G20 summit.
Actually be in a plane. It just seems very boring, but I'm going to watch it because I have to. That's part of my life.
But in that live phone interview heard on the Fox Business Network this morning, the president added,
"Do I want to watch it? Do I want to watch these people? That's a very unexciting group of people."
The U.S. is reportedly talking behind the scenes with North Korea about a possible third summit. The South Korean president saying today there's no reason to talk of a stalemate between the two nations, saying the two sides have been engaged in dialogue in regard to a third meeting. And this is USA Radio News.
A recent article says that consumers need to evaluate the ingredients found in their toothpaste. Dental hygienist Linda Hirst.
When it comes to the health of your teeth and gums, ingredients matter. Look for a toothpaste with a natural, gentle ingredient, like baking soda, which is the foundation of Arm & Hammer toothpaste.
The report noted that toothpaste with baking soda shows promise in reducing plaque and may decrease gum bleeding when compared to toothpaste without it.
When you brush with Arm & Hammer toothpaste, you notice the baking soda difference. They have been clinically proven to remove up to 5 times more plaque and to reduce gum bleeding by as much as 60% when compared to a non-baking soda toothpaste. Throughout the day, as you eat and drink, stains attach to the tooth surface, actually embedding into the sticky bacterial plaque. Arm & Hammer toothpaste with baking soda removes the stains and the plaque, even in the hard-to-reach areas. Baking soda also helps neutralize the harmful plaque acids that form in our mouth, keeping teeth and gums healthy.
For more, visit ahtoothpaste.com.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us as we talk with Paxton Baker, who's joining us now. He's the Washington Nationals minority owner and chairman of the board of the Congressional Award. Paxton, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Thank you, Bill. Healthy, positive, good to hear your voice, and a refreshed morning.
Hey, good to be talking to you. Let's talk about the Congressional Award Foundation. It's going to honor Gail Miller with the Horizon Award at the annual gold medal ceremony on Capitol Hill the end of June, on June 20th. It's a special recognition from the Joint Leadership Commission of the Congressional Award Foundation and its board of directors. The Horizon Award recognizes individuals from the private sector who have worked to expand opportunities for all Americans through their own personal contributions. Some of the previous recipients include Drew Brees, Bob Lanier, Wynton Marcellus, Cal Ripken Jr. I mean, it is a who of incredible, citizens and contributors to the greater cause. Now, most would recognize the late Larry H., who passed away in 2009, and Gail Miller for establishing one of the largest privately owned group of companies in the western United States. They have ownership of over 60 car dealerships, the Utah Jazz, Megaplex Theaters, and more. But in the decade following Larry's passing, Gail has shown the importance of resolve and drive and been a source of inspiration for many seeking to find their identity. Well, Paxton, let me ask you, what does winning the Horizon Award from the Congressional Award Foundation mean to you?
Well, just all the things that you just stated, which are pretty amazing and pretty incredible about people who really go above and beyond and give of themselves. Mm-hmm. People who are doing things that they don't have to do. They're doing it for goodwill. And from our end, kind of recognizing that, as you know, during the news every day, there's a load of negative stories that pop up every day, and they seem to be continual. Mm-hmm. This is the bright spot. This is something bright. Being successful is one thing. Amassing a great capital is one thing. Amassing a great name is one thing. But part of the process of really giving, truly giving, not for a desire of recognition just because it's the right thing to do and because of what it does for your life. This is basically just taking a moment to acknowledge those people for the good that they've done that they didn't have to do.
No, I was going to say, what does it say about a country that acknowledges this kind of, you know, exception? I mean, how many countries can you go to that highlight this kind of stuff?
That's a good question. That's one I have to admit I don't really know the answer to, but you are correct that it's good. It's good that that it's done here in this country and it's done by the U.S. Congress. So the Congressional Award itself was set up by Senator Malcolm Wallop from Wyoming and Congressman Frank Howard from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And so both sides of the House and the Senate, Democrat, Republican, back in 1979, and they set it up with a lot of stringent kind of pieces to, like, not just from our end of recognizing somebody for being famous, but actually recognizing somebody for actually doing something with their fame.
Exactly.
And working to make it better for people around it. So it's a wonderful thing. I've been on the board for 16 years and chairman for 12. And we that's what we do. It's like, it's not just that from the adult side, it's not just because somebody's famous. It's because of the good they do. But I think it's pretty wonderful that the Congress put this together. Mm-hmm. It's also not funded by public funds. We raise all the dollars from the private sector, from individuals and corporations who, once again, give something they don't have to do. So both sides of it, from the giving side as well as the recognition side, it's truly volunteerism. It's the core of what the organization is supposed to be about, what the award is supposed to be about, giving above and beyond from something that you don't have to do.
Exactly. Well, Paxton, tell us about the Larry H. Miller charity.
Basically, I met them through their chief human resource officer, a gentleman named Raymond Hall. And I got a chance to learn more about them. I met actually Ray Hall at Coach K's think tank and his foundation. Mm. And they put together an interesting pairing of people across the country, every single race known to mankind. Different types of work that they do. So I met Ray there and learned about the company. And also, Gail Miller is also an author. Mm-hmm. And when I began to read more about her and learn more about her and the organization, they invited me out to a diversity panel. I was just pretty amazed by it and presented them as an opportunity to the board for being recognized for their work that they're doing, which is pretty amazing.
Yes, it is. Well, your foundation also looks to support literary and educational purposes. Tell us all about that.
So the award is set up. It's set up to recognize young people between the ages of 13 and a half and 24 years old where they earn a congressional medal. And you used the award a little bit earlier. The word was winning. Well, this one here is actually set up. It's something that you earn. So the Congressional Award for Young People is pretty stringent. There's 100 hours of time needs to be put in for the bronze medal, 200 for the silver, and 400 for the gold. And they earn the medal. The three components are civic, volunteerism, civic duty, physical fitness, and then an hour-bound excursion. And each one is literally you set up a goal for what you're trying to achieve in that sector, and then you work to achieve the goal. And it's you can enter it through going online for congressionalaward.org, but also you can enter generally with your guidance counselor at the high school can help you get with it. Also, your House or Senate offices are also there. And we work with the Boys and Girls Club. We work with the Y. We work with 4-H, AmeriCorps, and all the branches of the service as well. And basically working to encourage young people to join this program where they can earn a medal. The medals are minted by the U.S. Mint, and we do a gold medal ceremony, which is this week in Washington on the 20th, in the National Visitor Center, and the medals are handed out by Senate and House members to the young people from the district.
Well, how much fun is that? I mean, these kids must love this.
It's pretty amazing. Most of which, Bill, have not come to Washington, D.C. before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a kind of a really just special deal itself for them coming to Washington, but then also to be recognized for this in front of their peers, in front of their parents, in front of their mentors and guidance counselors in the Capitol. We feel pretty special about it. As I mentioned, I've been on the board for quite some time and chairman for quite some time. Every year, I'm encouraged and makes me feel really good about being an American.
Mm, yes, exactly. Well, let me ask you, what inspired you to write Courage to Be Yourself?
No, that wasn't me. That was Gail Miller.
Oh, it was Gail Miller. Okay. All right. These must be questions for her then. I'm sorry. Okay.
No problem at all. No problem at all. No, okay. Okay, but like when you run across, you'll find that she's a very special lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I met her in November of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a panel at the end of it. She had taken notes. I started writing away the whole time. Myself, an Olympic gold medalist, the president of the University of Utah, and their then CEO. And at the end of it, when she summarized everything, I have to admit, I was kind of just blown away. I was like, I need to learn more about her. So I thought the whole thing was very special. And when I kind of came back and presented to the board, everybody immediately jumped on it and said, hey, let's work with her. And she's a perfect candidate.
What's the big takeaway, of this writing that Gail had written, Courage to Be Yourself? I mean, the intro almost sounds like a commencement, speech.
Yeah, well, I think I come back to something I said a little bit earlier, and that is kind of giving above yourself and the joy that you actually get from it. When you do things that you don't have to do and for the service of others, I think that we're often so rewarded by it. You a lot of times have to report stories that aren't so great, and in your investigation, you investigate things that aren't so great, but it's news, and it's something that you have to do. Well, this is the opposite of it. This is going above and beyond for something that you don't have to do, and talking about the joy and the true reward that you get from giving of yourself.
Mm. He's Washington National's minority owner and chairman of the board of the Congressional Award. Paxton, again, we thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. Where can the good folks go for more information?
Congressionalaward.org. That's congressionalaward.org. And Bill, thank you for the service you give to the country. It's always great. It's refreshing. Interesting perspectives that you get on things, and something that I think you kind of compel people to think about things that they don't necessarily think about on their own, which to me is great journalism. It's real. It's meaningful. And thank you for the service you do the community as well.
Well, it's an honor, Paxton. I appreciate it. Thank you. Take care. Have a great day.
Attention timeshare owners. Are high maintenance fees driving you crazy? Well, how would you like to rent or even sell your timeshare and eliminate your maintenance fees? Now you can by making one quick call to Timeshares by Owner, a national company with an A+ BBB rating that specializes in helping consumers sell or rent their timeshares. And if you call right now, we'll give you a free timeshare market evaluation and explain to you our exclusive double your money back guarantee. Now you don't need to be wasting money on a timeshare you don't always use. You can rent or even sell it. Call right now and get your free market report and learn about our industry-leading double your money back guarantee. Learn your options now on how to sell or rent your timeshare and eliminate most of the cost and headaches. Call now. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
The silence of the mountains and the crashing of the sea. There lies a land I once lived in.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, lucky us. We've got Rick Steve with us, travel authority and activist. He's going to be launching his annual $1 million commitment to carbon neutral travel. Carbon neutral travel, okay? Hold on to that for just a moment. Let's bring Rick on. He'll tell us all about it. Rick, welcome to the show. How are you, buddy?
Hi, Bill. Good to be with you.
Hey, good to have you here. Man, I'll tell you, what a great career. I mean, has this been fun for you? I mean, did you think that you would be the PBS TV travel host, author of over 50 guidebooks? I mean, the experiences that you've enjoyed through your career, just unbelievable.
You know, I'm so thankful that I found my niche, and it works from a business point of view. And when I do my work, it just gives me more energy. I spend 4 months a year on the road updating my guidebooks and working on my tour program and making our TV shows. I'm surrounded by 100 wonderful co-workers, and we're inspiring Americans to get out there and travel.
How did the idea come about, Rick? If we can, for just a moment, just visit here and talk about the genesis of this whole program.
The Climate Smart commitment that we have?
Well, no. First of all, with your career. With your career, and then we're going to get into Climate Smart.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, my parents dragged me to Europe when I was a schoolboy. I didn't want to go, but my dad decided to import pianos from Germany.
Mm.
I thought it was a stupid idea, and I got over there and I realized, hey, this world's an interesting place. And then I realized on the next trip I didn't need my parents for this, and I had so much fun I vowed to go back to Europe every year just it was a great way to spend my extra time and money. And then I was learning from my own experience, and I saw other people making the same mistakes I learned from. I thought if I could just package those lessons into a talk or a book or something, others could learn from my experience rather than their own. I'd have a good excuse to go back to Europe every year and update my material. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that now for decades, and mm-hmm. I'm having more fun than ever. We've got technology beyond our wildest dreams to amplify our teaching. And in the last couple decades, I've realized the most important value of travel is to inspire and equip Americans to get out there, to venture beyond Orlando.
Yes.
To learn about the rest of the world, gain an empathy for the other 96% of humanity, and come home with what I think is the most beautiful souvenir, and that's a broader perspective. And that's part of our teaching. So we're having a lot of fun. And, you know, Europe is our focus. To me, it's the wading pool for world exploration. And it's my hope that people can use that as a springboard for venturing further afield. And, you know, I've spent 4 months a year, every year for the last 30 or 40 years overseas. So I have a little bit of experience in this regard. And it is so clear to me it has never been safer to travel than it is right now. And anybody who disagrees with that probably doesn't have a passport and spends a lot of time watching commercial TV news.
Right.
You know, I just think the world is a beautiful place filled with love and wonderful people. Of course, there's problems. There's always been problems. But the more we travel, the more we understand each other. And I think that makes our country safer, and it makes all of us better off.
You know, it's good to hear you say that, because there has been, you know, some bad news about travel, especially in Dominican Republic right now. There's certain hot spots in the area. But just like here in the United States, we know there's rough areas, and you avoid those areas, right?
Yeah, or you dance around them. I mean, right. I was just in Ethiopia last month. Last week they had some kind of altercation with their military. That's bad news, but it's a country of 100 million people.
Right.
And we have to remember that these events that we respond to are very localized, and they can be tragic, but they shouldn't stop us from traveling. And the irony is, if we stop traveling, the world would be a less safe place. It's more important than ever that we travel. We become less ethnocentric, and we share notes, and we realize we're all in this together.
Exactly, and the governments understand this too. They understand that this is important for the stability of their countries, to have people come and visit, tell the story, take back memories, like you say. So I agree. Hey, let's talk about travelers impacting the environment. People may not think about this, but you explain. So break it down for our audience, how travelers impact the environment.
Well, when we live, we impact the environment, and when we travel, we impact it more, mainly because we're flying there and back. I mean, while you're there, you're impacting it just like you do here. You get in the car, you wash your clothes, you do all sorts of things. But a huge element of the carbon footprint of anybody that does an international trip is the flight from here to there. Now, as I mentioned, I focus on traveling in Europe, and experts know that when an American flies from the United States to Europe and back, they contribute about the same amount of carbon into the environment that the typical American would do if he drove his car for 6 months. That's a lot. Wow. So as a businessman, I make a lot of money out of taking people to Europe. Last year, we took 30,000 people on 1,200 different tours to Europe from the United States. And I just think it's ethical for me to, I've given myself a self-imposed carbon tax, basically, so that my travelers are flying there and back, and we're mitigating the impact of their flights by investing what it takes in important organizations that fight climate change. And that's what our Climate Smart commitment is all about. We're not heroes. There's more contribution to climate change that happens when people travel, but we just don't believe that the best solution is to stop traveling. Sure, you can stop traveling if you want to, but we don't need to do that. That's hysterical. That's overreacting. We just need to recognize that we can invest in organizations that mitigate the climate problems we produce when we fly there.
Exactly.
Now, experts have explained to me, and there's no discussion about this. I mean, people who know this, who are professionals about this, know that if you take $30 and invest it smartly in organizations that are doing good stuff to fight climate change, that will mitigate the amount of problem caused by an American flying to Europe and back, or flying wherever and back.
Wow.
And so what we've done is we've taken the 30,000 people that we take on our tours every year, on a Rick Steves tour, multiply it by $30 and round it up, and that's $1 million. And then we have the joy of creating a portfolio of organizations that we can help fund, and we get to divide that $1 million between six or seven groups that are doing great things to fight climate change. And it's our prerogative, and we want to set the parameter that we're going to support organizations that fit our mission, and that would be to help people in the developing world produce more food more sustainably with less impact. That's climate smart agriculture. And I just love the thought that if we empower an organization that's a smart or aid organization that's already set up in the developing world with some funding, they will help people in the poor world live their lives, feed their families, and do so in a way that impacts climate change less. That's what climate smart agriculture is all about. It's very straightforward. Another thing we want to support is advocacy organizations that work in Washington, D.C. to help teach our government that it is ethical for us to join with the family of nations to work collectively to fight climate change. A simple example is we're the only major power that's not in the Paris Climate Accords. And it's worse than embarrassing. America, the world needs American leadership on this. They want us there. I know in my own world as a business person here in Seattle that conventional accounting lets me profit off of taking people to Europe and back with no accountability for the cost to the environment. So I'm giving myself what should be part of our accounting practices is I have to pay fully for the cost of goods sold, and part of that is $30 per person to mitigate the impact on the climate problem.
And the travelers are participating in that, aren't they? I mean, it's not that it's coming out of your net profit. I mean, they're participating, and I'm sure they're happy to do that, aren't they not?
No, it's coming out of my bottom line. I mean, I can do that because I'm a privately held corporation. If I was a publicly held corporation, my board would sit me down and say, sorry, that's a nice idea, but you can't do that. We are legally obligated to profit maximize for our shareholders in the short
term. Right, no, of course, yes.
But as a privately held corporation, I can do it. Now, whether I pass it along to our travelers or not, it's beside the point. It's part of the cost of going to Europe. Mm-hmm. And what I want to do is inspire other travel companies to do the same thing. I want to inspire them to do that. If that doesn't work, then I'd like to shame them to doing that. If that doesn't work, I would like to raise awareness among consumers so that it becomes just common sense if you want to stay in business as a travel company to run your company ethically in a climate-smart way. And I'm encouraging other travel companies to take our carefully designed and beautifully written program here. It's complicated to present this to the public in a way that doesn't make your eyes glaze over, and we've worked very hard to do that. And other companies could go to ricksteves.com. They could steal our entire corner called our Climate Smart Commitment. They could swap out the proper nouns, turn it into their program, and offer it to their travelers. And I'd be thrilled if that would be part of their program.
Well, you're starting something here, and I think for Americans who want to participate, this is a great option. Hopefully we don't have to get into shaming. I think we still have room for education, and people need to understand. I mean, because there's still that argument, and if it was that clear and everybody understood the climate science, Rick, it'd be simple. Because even though the United States, at least my understanding of this, is that even though they disconnected from Paris Climate Agreement, we're still doing things as a country. We're supporting and doing things that are responsible to the environment. I still think that there's just some questions we need to work out, and if we can have the discussion and do it in a reasonable sort of way, I think we can get there.
But, I think that'd be great. I agree.
Yeah, that's my hope, Rick. And I sense your business heart in the way you operate. So I've known of you, not known you directly, I mean, this first time you and I have talked, and you've been on the show, I'm glad that you're on here to talk about it, because this brings some balance to the conversation. Rick Steves, popular PBS TV travel host. Where can they go, Rick, for more information?
Well, I would say you can, any number of ways you can learn about climate change. If they want to see what we're doing at ricksteves.com, you can see our Climate Smart Commitment page, and then you can encourage travel companies that you know to get on board with this new ethic on how we can be profitable in the tourism industry and at the same time be part of the solution rather than part of the problem.
Amen. Rick Steves, I'm Bill Martinez live. Rick, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Look forward to hearing some more about it later on as this continues to progress and take a deeper hold. Congratulations on the idea. I love it.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's been a delight to talk with you, and happy travels.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks, so it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.